Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hello, this is Dan.
Dan, Bill Bartholomew, how are you, Lieutenant Governor?
I'm good, Bill. Thanks. So I'm glad you were able to get in on the call.
Well, it's certainly an in-demand moment there. I mean, it's, I guess, that what are they only cap it at 50 or 100 or something like that? So not much you can do, you know?
I don't know what the cap was. We were told before the call it was as many as 200. So I don't think we got to there. So it must have been lower than that. But we're researching right now to get to a call that can take 500 and see what happens. But it does show you there's a lot of demand out there.
No question about it. So
a lot of demand. So
we really appreciate your time. I guess there's two major things. Obviously, the most important thing to focus on right now is public health. But as you stated, secondarily, economics, the microeconomy here. And there's no better example of a gap in the system right now than independent contractors, whether you're talking musicians or any sort of small business that operates in that 1099 window. So you advise that there may be some movement to accelerate the process of federal unemployment that could essentially fund those people. Can you kind of enlighten us all on what we can look for, especially those of the musicians, the artists who are in this community right now, really have no direct plan?
Yeah, Bill, and we're hearing that, and we recognize that. And I've been, trying to sound the bell to anybody who's listening, and we're going to be approaching our congressional leaders, our delegation, and we're drafting a letter on that that would get to them, and I believe it is getting to them today or tomorrow. So there is provisions. This is what I've been told by our legal representation in our office. So I believe it is true, and is that there are provisions that states can ask for the status through the White House, through the president's office, to qualify these independent contractors and sole proprietors who are working and paying taxes, but they're not paying into the unemployment fund, to exempt them from this during a disaster relief strategy. So this is unusual circumstances. You know, the musicians you're talking about, I mean, it's not because they decided not to show up for work, or it's not because the business voluntarily shut down its operations. This is a direct result of the COVID-19 virus and facilities, because of the social distancing, which we need to really focus on, are being closed for that reason. So I think there is that provision, and we're going to just kind of try to track that down and see how alive that is in the network, with our congressional leaders. And, we would urge people who are in those categories to make contact to their reps and senators, and expressing that they would like to see where there are provisions that could allow them to participate in the unemployment fund.
And that's, I guess, the crux of this, is that if you're an independent contractor in that role anyway, you're not paying into the fund. So that's where the problem is fundamentally here. I mean, that's a much larger question for another point in time, but there's at least some movement.
It is a problem, Bill, because this is why I was saying on the call today earlier that we already have put a letter into our congressional delegation encouraging them to make sure that in whatever provisions there are that comes out of the legislation that can pass federally, there's provisions in there to restore the unemployment fund to the levels that they were at when this started. And the reason being is that it wouldn't be fair to the businesses who would are going to be held responsible right now to refund that, you know, that unemployment fund, right? When people take unemployment in a company, that company starts their rates end up going up, and they restore the fund anywhere from like $3,000 to $7,000 per person that files for unemployment. So you can see where our unemployment fund is going to get drained. And then if the independent contractors were allowed to go into that fund without the federal coverage, then what would happen is that people who are paying into that fund, the businesses, would be basically being taxed to support the independent contractors. That's why you need the federal intervention on this thing.
Right. It's skewed otherwise in a way that's, you know, not taxing in a fair way. Even if you say you have the perspective, well, tax the rich in a situation like this, that's not necessarily what's going to happen anyway. The burden will be on small and mid-sized businesses at the end of the day. So let's talk about the rismallbusiness.org, essentially what you're rolling out today on your conference calls. This clearinghouse, if you will, for trying to get the small business economy stimulated, which, by the way, you know, you've been a key part of that for, you know, your tenure as lieutenant governor, no question about it. Now here's a moment where, you know, urgency is required and you're rolling out a plan. So let's hear about it.
Yeah. So we had a call on Friday, Bill, and just to start this ball rolling to get this topic of, you know, this economic crisis that we're actually beginning to experience, is in particular in a small business. So like you said, our office is an advocate for the small businesses, and that's what we're focusing on. But what came out of the call on the Friday was that we had this person that was on the call from Oceanside Graphics, and he volunteered to say, look, I'm a PR marketing firm. Our volume has shrunk down considerably. I'll volunteer on any program that you ask me to volunteer in to get a message out. So we contacted Justin from Oceanside Graphics this weekend, and we talked about a statewide strategy on encouraging customers and to purchase gift certificates or purchase services in advance of using them, so that these companies would have cash flow to support their operations and in some cases keep their staff employed, right? So this is a I think this effort is going to you know, show an example of how a local business is donating their time to help other businesses, so that it's a setup that you know, that that Justin at the Oceanside Graphics has set up. You can go to that site. You have a hashtag gift forward RI, which will bring you to the information on the site, and then you can go to giftforwardri.com, and that would be, you know, it would bring you right to the site, and then you can participate as a business owner to register your business, or you can as a customer of someone nominate one of the businesses, and we're starting an inventory, and then logic companies that do business with small businesses, that, you know, small businesses are the vendors, we're encouraging them to book a you know, some significant amount of their business that they're going to do sometime in the next 12 months. So we're hoping that, you know, we're expecting that this is going to take off. We've already had some media interest, and this company actually is going to help manage the interactions as people register, and we're going to be keeping track of, you know, how many people actually are going to get involved. But this is a statewide site that's meant to do you know, work and help the small businesses on a statewide basis. We are also doing listing where they you know, when they have people who are already doing stuff, Bill, where they've been able to put their information on there. So there was a chamber that was on the call today that talked about a program that's happening down in Westerly, and they've already linked that onto their site, that whole, you know, that effort that's happening down in Westerly. So This is not meant to override anything that's going on now. In fact, we encourage anybody that's doing anything that's helping a small business. We want to be highlighting that because this is the thing that we think is very important. It shows that people are willing to support, you know, different businesses. And so this site, which is the rismallbusiness.org, that's where you would go. It's very simple, rismallbusiness.org, and you can participate. And that's a pretty easy format to be able to participate and figure out how you can help the small businesses that are currently in business.
And that could include independent contractors in terms of just the clearinghouse. You could certainly purchase services in advance from independent
contractors. Absolutely. So there's a registration where independent contractors who are businesses. I consider independent contractors businesses just as I do sole proprietors. They can register their service and then the people who gravitate to the site, they can actually advance purchase. But you have to have some way to kind of, when we list the company, the way it's structured right now is that there's a direct contact to the, you know, to the small business. So that, you know, they'll go directly to their website. I guess in this case, I'll have to ask Justin, but there's probably a way to connect in directly into the performer if they don't have a website. But if they do, that's the way to do it. And then we'd have to kind of gear up so that if they don't have a vehicle to, you know, take donations, then they, if you're going to register, you probably should probably go through that process. We have one of the attorneys that has offered his advice and help to walk, you know, people through some of the logistics they need to do. So I'm not sure that applies, but I'm sure there'll be someone out there that could help a small business figure out how to make sure that when they put their information down, that they could be contacted. And they could get benefit from this rismallbusiness.org program. That's the deal.
We're speaking with Rhode Island Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee. Appreciate your time. Real quick, one of the other big stories that you're in the midst of today, you know, sub-stories, I suppose, is the kind of plan if, you know, the governor should be somehow stricken with COVID-19, you would step in. And that's become a storyline today. You kind of summed it up as you're naturally ready for that. That's your role. That's why you became the lieutenant governor. That's frankly why we have a lieutenant governor in many ways, that and to organize the types of programs you're doing. But is there any more specificity to that? How are you kind of operating as a shadow team? Is there anything like that happening right now? And are you sort of distancing yourself from the movement of the governor and the Department of Administration and the health department at this point in time?
No distance. And in fact, that's how I start every public comment I make, Bill, is, no, we should be following Dr. Scott's lead, or the governor's lead. Our number one job as citizens in Rhode Island is do everything we can not to get infected by the virus. That's how we stop the virus. The small business thing is actually coming through. We are, and I think the people should know that you're right, you know, from the time I answered that question is from the time I was elected, I knew that was a responsibility that I need to be always being prepared for, and regardless of the circumstances. So this is a circumstance that, you know, is a crisis. So, you know, I've had the experience as a mayor and to work with different local crises, the emergency management issue. So we are connected in the governor. We're doing a call twice a week with the general offices, with the governor's office, so that we make sure that we're as connected as we can be. And so the answer to the question is yes. We would be prepared, and we are connected in with the governor's office through these phone calls through her staff. And we know that she's got all that she can handle right now. And I think that she's doing an effective job. And I think she's doing it in a responsible way. So we would step in if that ever happened, the remote possibility that happens, we would step in and continue to, you know, move in the same direction that the governor has already set out to make sure that we protect the public safety of number one, our health. But then we need to be focused on this economic issue, too. But it's not unusual. I tell you, Bill, I was on a national call with the lieutenant governors, and we're sharing our information across the lieutenant governors as well right now, and there was one of the lieutenant governors who was quarantined. So
which one?
It was, I believe it was Nevada.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I believe it was the lieutenant governor from Nevada, but the point is that, yeah, there was a lieutenant governor that had self quarantined herself. She wasn't positive for the virus, but, she felt as though that she needed to self quarantine, and she did. So we know it's hit the vice president's office. Right. So, and that's hitting people from around, you know, it doesn't really matter where you are, in what level you're working at. It can go from right to the top. So, yeah. So the quick answer is yes. And I think that the people who listen to your podcast should realize that there is a good communication that's going on in the slight chance that ever happened. And I can tell you some lieutenant governors are, not as fortunate. You have some that are a Republican Democrat and they're not talking to one another, which makes no sense to me, but there is one state that's happening in. And I've been on your show before, and this is really the time where it shows long-term that the governance model, I think, should have a governor and a lieutenant governor running as a team, right through the elections and right through management. And I hope that's going to surface in the discussion for long-term, type of good, solid political policy for the state. We should be having the lieutenant governor and a governor running as a team right from the beginning of an election and right through management. That only can connect you even more. But I think that we're under the current governance model, I'm satisfied, and I think that the governor is, that everybody is being informed.
The lieutenant governor of Rhode Island, Dan McKee, as always, so much appreciated so much for having you on here, and stay self-isolated out there.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm making sure that that I am isolated. But as you know, we had that call today, and I know that we had a large group of people on there, so we're still active. Our office is still active. We're taking calls. We're responding to individuals and groups built. So I appreciate the opportunity to come on and let people know that our office is open, and people should feel free to give our office a call if they have any issue, because we're like an information center, and they can reach us at a phone number, which is which I've said a number of times, but it's 233. Actually, it's 222-2371, and they can get to our office, 401-222-2371. And our office is operating.
All right, Lieutenant Governor, appreciate it very much.
Okay, Bill, thanks.
All right, take care.
Stay safe and stay healthy.
Will do. That's the plan.
Okay, bye.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.